reading tonight is Mark chapter 10, page 1014 in the Blue Bibles. Mark 10, starting at verse 17, the rich and the kingdom of God. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked round and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We've left everything to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who's left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is God's word.
Evening, everybody. Do keep your Bibles open at that page. It'll be very helpful as we look at this passage. And that's 104, I think it is there. Let me start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this passage. We thank you for this series of knowing the real Jesus. And we just ask, Lord, as we look into this young rich man who comes up and asks Jesus a simple question, whether what we can learn from it tonight, we just ask, Lord, that you'll put it on our hearts too, that we can grow and draw closer to you through this very passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to ask 4 questions, and I hope it's going to open up the Bible, this Bible passage for us. It's a very well-known story in the Bible, isn't it? It's recounted in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's obviously very important. For those of us living in the more prosperous Western world, it can create perhaps a sense of disquiet or uncomfortableness. Where and what is the cut-off point to enter the kingdom of heaven? How big is the eye of a needle? Can we enter the kingdom of heaven if we own a car, a house, or can afford a holiday? Those sort of questions run through our mind when we hear this. It makes us think, and this passage can challenge us. So let's dive in. Question 1, what must I do? In verse 17, a man runs up to Jesus and asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" It's a very good question, isn't it? What must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, it's one that's exercised people throughout the centuries. A man called Qin Shi Huang, the Chinese emperor, who reigned in 250 BC, and he created the famous terracotta army. Well, he was totally obsessed with living for as long as possible. He didn't want to die. He ordered his subjects to travel all over the world. He sent teams of men to go out and to find the elixir of eternal life, and they were ordered not to return unless they found it. He died age 49. More recently, an article on the web caught my eye. Jeff Bezos, you might know him, he's the owner of Amazon. He's currently pouring piles and piles of money into research to try and find buy never-ending life. Jeff Bezos is one of the world's richest people. He has more money than he can ever hope to spend. He has everything in this world that money can buy. He's even flown into space. But Jeff Bezos knows what we all know, that one day he's going to die. So he's invested big time in a secret startup company that is researching anti-aging technology. According to the web article, lots of other billionaires are doing the same thing. Money can buy many things, but it can't buy eternal life. Not yet, anyway. And I hope never. When it comes down to it, death is a great equalizer. We're all the same, we're all mortal. None of us will live forever, not without Jesus. So everyone, man, woman, and child, should be able to relate to this question asked in our passage today. What must I do to earn eternal life? The prize that the young man seeks is eternal life. It's mentioned frequently in the Gospel of John, not so often in the other Gospels. The man asks what he must do to inherit. As a rich man, he understands inheritances. The Jewish law spells out inheritances. The firstborn son is very fortunate. He receives two shares of the property, and each other son, they receive one share. We know that from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17. And if there's no sons, well, you'll be glad to know the daughter may receive the inheritance. The rich man surely knows all about the law, and he knows it like the back of his hand. Now he wants to know the law with regard to eternal life. What must he do to inherit? Jesus answers him, firstly, with a gentle rebuke or correction that only God is good, no one else. He then lists some of the commandments, doesn't he? Verse 19, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. While reading this list, I thought it was quite interesting that these particular commandments are perhaps slightly more straightforward. And none of us, if asked that, we'd probably say, well, I don't do, that's no problem. I haven't got any issues with that. So Jesus leaves out a couple. Come with me, keep your finger on chapter 10 and just come two pages further forward to chapter 12, verse 28, the greatest commandments. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, that's verse 28. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked of him, of all the commandments, which are the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Flick back again. So in response, the man happily declares, all these I've kept since I was a boy. If what the man says to Jesus is true, he is doing the right thing. But he's probably doing it for the wrong reason. He's less interested in serving and trusting in God than trying to find out how God can serve him. The man's question also reveals that he has misunderstood the relationship between his own works and deeds and God's grace. He cannot achieve eternal life by virtue of his own actions. Which is the uniqueness of our own Christian faith, isn't it? We receive eternal life by what Jesus has done for us, not what we can do for him. So this leads us to the second question. What do I lack? We've had, what do I do? Now, what do I lack? God has been generous to this man. He's very wealthy. He's got status. So in this interchange with Jesus, what the man really is asking is, how do you continue getting God's generosity towards him? That's what he wants to know. He says, I'm doing quite well. I'm following all the laws. I'm doing everything right. How do I carry on into eternity with this generosity, Lord? He wants to extend it into eternity. And when he replies to Jesus, all these I've kept since I was a boy, he reveals that he feels he's probably ticked all the boxes. Perhaps he wants to check with Jesus. Perhaps he's just looking for a pat on the back to say, well done, keep up the good work. In any event, we can be pretty sure he was not expecting Jesus' next challenge for him. Verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. It's an exciting but also frightening thought that Jesus can see into this man's heart. He can see into everybody's heart. When we stand before him one day, he will do the same thing to us. What will he see? What will he find? What will we perhaps lack? Jesus looks into the man's heart and sees what he lacks. His reliance is not on God or Jesus, it's on his wealth. So he says to him, verse 21, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. It's quite simple. Just get rid of all that baggage and come and follow me. Now, this man is very fortunate. He's actually had the opportunity of speaking to the Creator, the King of the universe, how to obtain eternal life. How would we like that chance? It's an amazing thought. He's actually asking one-to-one Jesus, how do I get eternal life? And he gets the answer. It's what he wants. It's what Jesus offers. Jesus tells him exactly how. But it's not what the man wants to hear. He's very wealthy. He knows what he has to do, but he doesn't want to do it. Sell all his possessions. How can he do that? He's got so much. He's totally shocked. So he turns and walks away. How sad is that? This brings us to question three. What does it cost? A few weeks ago, Andrew, sitting just down here, gave us a very good talk from Joshua chapter 7, describing one person, Achan, who disobeyed God's instructions. He took and hid some treasure from Jericho, put it in his tent with his family under the floor, thought he'd get away with it. Then they lost a battle. Over 30 soldiers were killed. And they prayed and they asked God to show what happened. And it was all revealed. Achan had to disclose that he had offended God and got God's wrath. And he asked a question. Now remember that question. What do we have hidden in our own tent that might offend God? It's a big question, because we don't want to offend our Maker. We stand up for Jesus. So today's question is being asked, in what does it cost? What is our one thing? Reading this passage, we might be wondering whether we too have to sell all our possessions in order to become followers of Jesus. I've been thinking about this, not just for the past three or four weeks when I've been preparing this. I've been thinking about this for the past 30 years since becoming a Christian. I'm sure a lot of you have been thinking about this. We worry about it. We think, you know, we're so prosperous in the West, we feel uncomfortable. We've got cars, we've got houses, we've got things, so many possessions. So many parts of the world haven't. Well, I don't think we have to. I don't think we have to sell everything. not for most of us. The point Jesus was making to the man and to his disciples, that in order to receive and obtain the gift of eternal life, the only way, and I repeat, the only way, is through 100% reliance and faith in Jesus. And that goes for all of us. The man in this Bible passage relied on his wealth. We might be relying on our wealth too, or it could be our job, could be our reputation, our status in society, our skill, our family, our home. If you're younger, it might be relying on your ability to play Xbox with all your mates, and you could be so good at it. You know, you're super champion. You could be world champion, all joined up together, and that can be your thing. That can be the thing that you really rely on. That's the thing that gives you your self-esteem. That can be your block, believe it or not. I suspect we all have something that we might hold too tightly onto, something we find hard to let go of. Jesus looked at this rich man with love. I think that should give us heart. And he said to him, you lack one thing. If Jesus were to look at you today with love and say the same thing, what might that thing be? What are you holding on to that perhaps gets in the way of faithfully following Jesus? I'm going to stop a minute. I'm just going to let you have a little think on that. Is there anything that you think that you're hanging on to that is blocking your relationship with Jesus? So we've looked at what must I do? What do I lack? What does it cost? And our last question that's covered in this passage is it worth it? Reading verse 23, Jesus looked round and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? The rich man with his wealth couldn't do it. He went away grieving. Jesus chooses the largest animal, commonly found at that time, the camel, and the smallest aperture, the eye of a needle. There's been lots of descriptions about a gateway into Jerusalem being the eye of the needle and camel having to take all his possessions off before you could get it through. But that was 600 years after this. So I don't think it's really relevant. I think Jesus meant what he said. The smallest aperture possible and the biggest animal. That's what he was talking about. It's impossible. So who can be saved? The disciples asked. And that's the right question, isn't it? Who can be saved? Because it turns out we have to look to the Savior Jesus. Verse 27, with man this is impossible, but not with God. Without Jesus, no one could be saved. But with Jesus, everyone can. And that's the Alleluia moment, as far as I'm concerned. That's the moment we think, praise God that we can be saved, despite our faults. All we have to do is allow Jesus to take us by the hand and to lead us. And that's the picture I'd like you to think of today. If we're clutching stuff in our hands and holding on to it, how can we hold on to the outstretched hands of Jesus? Now, I've got my helpful sidekick here, Chris. Chris, you're going to be Jesus. You're putting your hands out. And you're welcoming myself, or you, my prop. I'm clutching on to something. It could be my wealth, it could be my house. I want you to picture this in your mind, that you are clutching on to something that is blocking you from Jesus. Now, Jesus is always there with his hands out, ready for you. But you're clutching on to this object. How can I shake his hand? How can I grab his hand? How can he lead me away? He can't. You've just got to put this object down. be it your riches, your feeling of status, if you've got something blocking you from Jesus that you can't give him a hug, can I have a hug? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Sit yourself down. If you want to have a hug from Jesus, if you want to walk with Jesus, you can't have stuff blocking. That's what Jesus meant. It doesn't have to be riches. It could be anything. I'm sure we've all got it. I've been raking through my mind. I think I got three or four things that I could really reduce and get out of the way to get closer to Jesus. I'm sure we've all got that. The more stuff we release and let go, the easier and more secure and handhold will be with this man Jesus. He wants to save us from death. What could be better than that? So is it worth it? Let's read what Jesus tells us in verse 29 and 30. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, Jesus doesn't promise us a trouble-free life when we follow him. Often, it can get more difficult. Certainly did for me. Hence the warning about persecution. But he's being honest. You will face troubles. But he promises he's going to be with us at all the time. And in the age to come, he promises eternal life. That's a long time. I've had my 70 years now, and been making me think about these things. And you think, actually, it just goes like that. But eternal life is a very long time. Isn't it worth it, when you think about it, to spend our time with Jesus? Because we're going to have the eternal time with him, and that is going to be glorious. Jesus says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. The rich man was quite unlike the children. They were poor, but he was rich. They carried nothing in their hands, and his hands were full of wealth. They had no status or power. He had both. I don't think it's any accident that this passage about children comes just before the rich man. It's such a contrast of attitude. If we want to approach Jesus, we should do it like a child. He'll welcome us. The challenge for us is to clear away anything, any stuff, any idol, any luggage that is preventing us from holding on to our Savior Jesus. He's the only way, isn't he? Do you think it's worth it? I think it's worth it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this passage. We are sorry when we get stuff blocking the way to being able to grasp your hand and to walk alongside you, Lord, and to look to you and to take our crown off and just to allow you to lead us. We just pray as we sit here tonight that you will put on each of our hearts things that we could clear away, the clutter in our lives that can make us more free to spend time with you, Lord, to walk up with you, and to look forward to eternal life with you, Lord. We know we can only do that through you. In Jesus' name, amen.